As we look at Veterans Day, on Friday we had a little Veterans Day service with this little school, Ambleside, that we have here, and we had a veteran from the Vietnam War come and speak, and it was a very, very, very sad thing how he told us when he went to fight out in the war. A war that was, of course, very unpopular in this country, and everybody was speaking out against it. But when he came home, he was told by his army people, "Do not wear your uniform out in public." And one day he was running late somewhere to take his daughter to the dentist, and he didn't have time to change into his civilian clothes, and he wore his uniform, and he got to the dentist's office, and he was getting out of the car, and some protester comes and gets in his face and says, "You're a baby killer. Why? Go back. Get out of here." It's very, very sad that someone who fought for this country, whether you agree with the Vietnam War or not, was treated like that when he got home. The trouble is, wars are not always understood. Now, we're veterans in a different war. And I want to start before I do the sermon and say, I don't care what war our veterans have fought in. World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, Gulf War I. Those men and women risked everything to fight for our country. And they deserve the honor and the care that they should have. And it's very, very sad to me, as a father of three veterans, to see how they're neglected. And how our country, our very country that they fought for and who promised them so much, does not take care of their promises. That's one thing I can say about the commander we fight for. It'll never happen. Jesus will always take care of his veterans. And you and I who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior are his veterans. We are in a war. We're in a war that has been going on since Adam and Eve and will continue until the new heavens and the new earth. A war that has much greater consequences than any human war has ever had, because we don't just live and die. Eternal destinies are determined. When you and I go out and give the gospel, you will be protested against. We talked about that last week. Your army, which is the Lord's army, is hated in Satan's kingdom. Expect it, but fight. On this Veterans Day, I want us to remember what an honorable veteran does. And sometimes we misunderstand the word veteran. A veteran does not simply mean someone who has been in the armed forces. It's anyone who is or has been. So you all are not only soldiers, but you're also veterans. You're veterans who are still in the battle, and we forget that we're still in the battle. So what does it mean to be an honorable veteran? One of these days, our battle will be over, and Lord willing, in Christ, we will have an honorable discharge from this army, and we will rest in the peace that we, through Jesus Christ, have won. But right now, the battle is strong, and we need to fight. A few things about an honorable veteran. First of all, he fights for the right cause. In Jude, verse 3, Jude says, "I wanted to write about our common salvation, but I was moved to tell you all to earnestly contend for the faith." Your faith is under attack. Y'all know that? Have you seen it? It's under attack on the TV. Did you hear this past week, the people that came out after the shootings and things and offered thoughts and prayers, and the politicians are saying, condemning offering thoughts and prayers. Now thoughts, well, yeah, you know, we should think of them, but prayers are effective. God is powerful, but the world sees, oh, I offer my thoughts and prayers as just a way to get out of doing. No, it's not getting out of doing. It's saying we have a powerful God and prayer works. We fight for the right cause. The cause of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That same gospel of Jesus Christ of salvation by grace through faith alone, trusting in Jesus Christ as death, burial, and resurrection, apart from your works. That is our message. That is our faith, and we need to earnestly contend for it. The right warrior, the honorable veteran, obeys his commander. You know, when we look at Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Joshua is being sent in as a soldier of the Lord with the army of God into the promised land. And God comes with a message. He says, this book of the law, Joshua 1, 8 and 9, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night to do all that is written therein. See, this Bible, this is where our commander gives us our orders. And it's not just a matter of reading it. Satan doesn't care if you read the Bible. He doesn't want you to meditate to do. And like James says in chapter 1 of his book, 21 through 25, he finishes saying, if you're just a hearer and not a doer, you deceive yourself. But if you do it, you'll be blessed in what you do. What soldier ever heard the commander say, march? And he read them and said, okay, I've read the order. I'm fine. I'm good. You haven't fulfilled the order till you put your boots on and you march. And it's going to be scary sometimes. So in that same passage, he continues to say, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Put your boots on. March. Do what the word of God says. And let Satan fly at you. You will be more than conquerors. But you gotta obey your commander. How many of us don't share the gospel? How many of us don't spend time in his word? How many of us don't love our enemies? How many of us, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edifying. That's one of our orders. And yet I see Christians on Facebook saying hateful stuff against their opponent. Now, their opponents are wrong. But our words are still supposed to be out of love for edification. Obey your commander. The third thing about an honorable veteran is he knows where his resources are. You know, what do we be as a soldier? Well, where's my gun? Where's my bullets? You know, I saw that thing, you know, the lady on Facebook says, I finally realize I'm Wonder Woman. Because I wonder where my keys are, and I wonder where my plates are, and I wonder where my this is, and I wonder where that. Guys do the same thing. But a Christian should remember what and who and where our resources are. Our resources are at the foot of the throne. Always. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, where you can find help in time of need. Let me ask you, when is not a time of need? When do you and I not need Christ and what he gives. Jesus says in John 15, 5, without me, you can do nothing. We think we can win the Christian war by our great strategizing and our speaking and our commercial way of presenting things and selling it the right way. We need to know where our resources are. You shall become witnesses. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses. We need his power or we won't be his witnesses. We as soldiers cannot depend on ourselves. We cannot depend on our intelligence. We cannot depend on our talents. We cannot depend on our money. We cannot depend on these things. We must depend on the King and constantly come before the throne. And prayer is the hardest thing in the life of a believer so often, isn't it? My wife was telling me the other day, she says, I've got to the point where I'm enjoying prayer. Yes, so am I, but why should it be, I'm getting to the point.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, now. That's what she said. I enjoy it now, she just said. But boy, it's so hard for us to come and enjoy it. We need to know where our resources are. We will not win unless we come before the throne. And the next part is, he does not do it alone. You know, Ecclesiastes in chapter 9, I mean chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. We won't go read the verse, but you all know the verse. It talks about the importance of having two or more. If it's cold, boy, I tell you, it's nice. You know, the other day we were walking to Walmart from the car, and it was a cold, drizzly night with, you know, the first time when this cold came in and it was night and it was, the wind was blowing and it was just nasty. And we're walking and I just pulled her close. I mean, I love to cuddle with her anyway, but boy, I tell you, it's really nice when it's drizzly and you got someone warm. And if you're a soldier, you know, it has nothing even in that point to do with romance. You know, you're out in the war and you're two guys, you know, they'll sleep back to back. They'll cuddle, not really cuddle because they want to cuddle, but just because it's so darn cold. And when you're fighting and there's nobody to get your back, that's why the Bible says so clearly in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, do not forsake the assembling. It's not to listen to this guy up here. It's to strengthen one another in love and good works. It's so much more as we see the day approaching. It's to hold each other up and lift each other when we fall, and fight alongside the other and protect the other one's flank. You don't do it alone. That's what church is for. This is an army. And Satan, you know, it's nice if Satan's attacking me on my right side, if I got someone on my right side to help me. We should love our fellow building, but everywhere. Do you have a Christian? Someone that comes to your mind right now, that if you're under a major satanic attack, you could call even if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and say, please pray with me. And that person would drop everything and do it. Do you have a friend like that? If you do, treasure them more than rubies and diamonds. If you don't, find one. You need them in the battle. A good veteran, a good soldier strives to please his commander. If we'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul, the old soldier, is talking to the new person in the army who's coming up behind him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, as Paul is about to finish his battle, he says in verse 3 and 4, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged with warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." You know, we forget that we're in the war, and it's, you know, it's really, some things are so nice in this life, and God has blessed us with a lot of shore leave. I mean, I have so many good times in this, but we need to not entangle ourselves. This world is not our place. We're pilgrims and strangers and soldiers passing through. We're ambassadors. And we're to please our commander. And the thing that we need to, it's not so much always what would Jesus do. Because some things that Jesus would do, we can't. I'm not going to walk on water. I'm not going to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But the question always ought to be, what would please him? Is this action that I'm doing pleasing to my Lord? That's our question as a good soldier. He fights with gusto. That's what we read in Psalms today, 149, you know. Praise the Lord with the dance and all this. Yeah, then praise him in your bed and then grab your sword and go out and fight. Praise be to God. It's sort of gory when you look at it. They're meaning it literally because they were doing a physical war. You know, you get out there and you're the soldier, your kids, the soldiers of the Lord, and you grab your sword, you go out there and praise the Lord as you cut off those Philistine heads. But we're in this stage in the war, we're not called to cut off Philistine heads. I don't even know if you can find a Philistine anymore. But we are called to go fight and fight with gusto, because this war is a war for life. A war for bringing people from death to the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ. And every soul you win is a victory against the powers and principalities. And every time you stand for Christ in an unjust and bad situation, don't do it with anger. Don't do it with hatred. Don't do it with malice. Fight with the gusto of someone who knows that God offers life and offers it abundantly. He knows his enemy. A good soldier knows his enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Paul says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Do you know how Satan works? Do you know how temptation works? Do you know how he finds your weak points? Do you know what the big issues are in your life and the life of those around you? Do you know what Satan's doing? It's not worth fighting over here if he's attacking over there. Some people are still fighting the fights of the 19th century. And Satan has moved on and is doing other things. There are still Christians out there, preachers, who are fighting against rock music. When hardly nobody listens to rock music except us oldie moldies. It's gone so far past rock now. And the music isn't even the issue. It's the philosophy behind it. But that devil beat. It's that devil beat. No, it's not the devil beat. It's the devil words. Even behind a nice, pretty Beyonce beat or something. Talented, vocalists, you know, who are just putting forth soul-destroying messages. Know your enemy. And you're prepared for battle. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, Paul says, I discipline my body. I discipline my body and bring it under subjection. I've never been a regular soldier. But I've talked to my sons who went to boot camp. And especially my oldest son who trained for air rescue and stuff. The discipline is amazing. You know, we today, people are complaining about the waterboarding in Guantanamo for the terrorists. You join the Navy, you train like my son did, you get waterboarded. Because they have to be ready in case someone tortures them. My son has not only been waterboarded, he's been drowned various times. I mean, totally drowned. And then they give him the resuscitation. Because you got to be ready in case someone's doing these things. You prepare beforehand. You go out and you train in the snow and you train in the ice and you train in the heat. Because when the battle comes, it's like, well, it's too hot. I think I'm going to stop fighting now. So Paul says, I discipline my body and bring it under subjection. Paul says, I fast. I don't let my body control me. I control it under the power of God. Are we disciplined? You can tell by whether you can even spend your time memorizing a verse a month. Reading your Bible through in a year? Some Christians haven't read their Bible through in all their Christian life. They still don't know what's in Habakkuk. God might have an order for you in Habakkuk. I discipline my body and bring it under subjection. Paul says, lest when I preach to others, and if Paul could say this, boy, do I need it. I should be a castaway. I discipline my body and I keep my weapons sharp. You know, a soldier in boot camp is trained, they give him their rifle. It's not a gun when you talk to a soldier, it's a rifle. This is your rifle. And it's a M16 or back before that it was an M1 or whatever rifle they were taught depending on their war. And you're taught to take that rifle and take it apart and clean it and put it back together in the worst of circumstances and the worst of situations, because you're out there in the jungle or the forest or the desert and there's sand blowing and it's getting in your rifle and you need to clean it because the enemy's got a clean rifle. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, talks about putting on the armor of God, keeping your armor in good shape so that it works when you use it. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This Veterans Day, we need to ask ourselves, and I need to ask myself, what kind of a soldier am I? Am I, when it finally comes to the end, and the war is over, and Satan has been banished, and everything is done, and I stand before my judge, and he lets me into heaven because of what Jesus Christ did, but I then stand before him at the judgment seat, am I going to hear those words? Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Or am I going to have him wipe tears of shame from my face? He will wipe them. And I will be his because I've come to Christ. But am I going to enter his kingdom abundantly in victory, marching at the head of that victory parade with him? Or am I going to be saved, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, but as by fire? It's up to you and it's up to me. This Veterans Day, honor those who fought for our country and encourage those who are fighting for our Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've done. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to rejoice in you as we continue the battle. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We went a little long, so I'm going to dispense with the final hymn, and we can go out, enjoy your donuts quickly, and then we'll have a Sunday school. Yes, there's our paid person.
And then,
Real good. I finished working on a recording. I didn't think you did. I didn't think you did. No. Thank you.